With Steve Scherer, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record. Last weekend, Mayor Ed Murray delivered on one of his first 100 days promises. He held a neighborhood summit. It was at Seattle Center on Saturday. It was intended to be a first step in healing the relationship between the neighborhoods and the city. That relationship has been strained by the pressures of development and growth. Yesterday, I asked Mayor Ed Murray about a comment from a KUOW listener, Dick Schwartz, who said that to be truly relevant, the government must engage in bottom-up rather than top-down planning.
I do agree with him. We had over 600 people at this summit. It was also a very diverse summit. We had a significant number of people from the south end of Seattle, particularly from the East African community. And this was an attempt to restart a conversation about how we do plan from the ground up, how we do reengage the neighborhood and the neighborhoods and the people who live in it in deciding what the future character of their neighborhood will be about. This was just step one. I think that, you know, we have a process that's 27 years old. To some extent, it's atrophied over the years. And again, this was step one. People came. We heard a lot of great information. And we're going to follow up with the next steps about how we reinvent our own neighborhood involvement process.
At one point, neighborhoods could decide what happened in their neighborhoods. And at some point along the line, many say, well, that kind of changed. You look at South Lake Union, the neighborhood didn't want some of that development. But the mayor, perhaps for good reasons, said in the interests of the city, this needs to be a neighborhood that has more job growth in it and changes. When push comes to shove, should the neighbors be able to decide what goes on in their neighborhood?
Well, I think it's a balance between the neighborhood and the city as a whole. And how we plan for neighborhoods so that neighborhoods can have actual somewhat control but not complete control, because we have to balance this out to be sure that we have a city that's still equitable. Under Mayor Rice, we developed the comprehensive plan that has the urban village concept in it. That's where growth is happening, and that's where we're meeting our growth. Now, there are problems. There have been loopholes in the zoning laws that have allowed developments to happen where they weren't anticipated. We have a lot of work to do to go back and look at how we fix some of these issues as we review our comprehensive plan. But it is a balance between the mayor and the council and people in the neighborhoods. It's also a balance between the people within a neighborhood, those who go to the neighborhood meeting and those who can't because they have kids or they work. So we're also looking, how do we involve other people who live in neighborhoods versus just people who thankfully can go to a meeting?
Yeah, and we should just explain, the comprehensive plan is really going to be the way that the city plans its growth. It's sort of a master zoning plan right. For the entire city, and the city's embarked on redoing that plan. It needs to get updated.
Yes.
You talked about at the summit, you talked about as a way to heal the relationship between the city and the neighborhoods, as you just described. Mm-hmm. From what you heard on Saturday, do you know right now what the top priorities are for neighborhoods?
I wouldn't ever say one meeting is going to tell me what the top priority is. But my sense of this is that a lot of the issues around growth are because folks don't understand what's going to happen where. And I think we have a lot of work to work with the neighborhood so they understand what's going to happen. Although I think the biggest issue revolves around transportation. How do we move around this city? There's been a lot of talks over the years, last 4 years, even longer, about transit in Seattle. But we actually haven't added any, except for plans that were put in place many years ago, whether it's expansion of the streetcar, whether it's our bus system. We actually don't have a plan about how we're going to pay for additional transit. And that's really the answer for growth. You can have density if you have the transit, the parks, and the schools to support it. And that I think is what people in the neighborhoods are pretty rightfully angry about, is where's the transit, where are the sidewalks, where are the parks, where are the schools?
And we're going to get back to transit in just a moment. But one very specific thing that one of our listeners asked about, Gretchen posted on Facebook to complain about the lack of sidewalks in North Seattle. We hear this frequently. Mm-hmm. She writes, in Queen Anne, even alleys are paved. Mm-hmm. Should there be sidewalks in North Seattle? What are you, mayor, going to do about it?
You know, it's interesting. I started working for the council as staff 22 years ago, and this was an issue. And I'm back in city government after 18 years away, and this is still an issue. We know that when the north part of the city was incorporated over a half a century ago, there was a commitment for sidewalks, and for the most part, they haven't happened. And we really don't have a plan about how we're going to gradually put them there. So we need to develop that. It's a huge price tag, so it's not going to happen all at once. But I do think, again, we need to show folks what we can pay for and where it's going to happen.
At the Neighborhood Summit, a speaker talked about a civic health index, and it compares Seattle to other cities in terms of engagement. And it said that Seattle's are great joiners and excellent boycotters, but they're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to just being friendly with their neighbors. This is known popularly as the Seattle freeze. Do you think, first of all, there is a Seattle freeze?
Well, you know, every city has a different culture. I grew up here. I think it's a pretty nice place. I chose to stay here. I do think that the tension of growth and density has probably created some sort of friction as far as how people interact with each other. And I do think we have some work to do as far as re-engaging with each other, both with civility and creating ways where we build community among people. We're not just talking about the infrastructure in a neighborhood, but we're talking about how neighbors can connect.
Great goals. How does a mayor influence that?
A lot of things we can do. There's events that we can work with neighborhoods on planning that get people out of their houses and mingling with each other, how we develop our parks, how we start getting more programming back in our community centers. There's a series of things we can do. Do we create neighborhoods, which we don't really do a good job of outside some neighborhoods, that are truly walkable, healthy neighborhoods where you can walk to a transit stop, where you can walk to the grocery store or walk to a place of employment? We have a lot more work to do there. And that's, you know, when people are walking, they interact with each other.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, who came to KUOW yesterday to talk about the issues he's currently facing as he comes up on his 100th day as mayor. Yesterday, we talked to him about the Seattle Police Department. Tomorrow, we'll hear Mayor Murray on Proposition 1 and the bigger picture of transit planning in Seattle. You can hear all of those interviews online at kuow.org. The 15 Now movement, which advocates for a citywide $15 an hour minimum wage, has ignited a debate in City Hall, actually all over the city, about how to raise the minimum wage citywide. Mayor Ed Murray told me yesterday he's hopeful that the city will find a way to raise the minimum wage.
I think we can show not just Seattle, but the rest of the country, how you put progressive policies in place, how you raise the minimum wage and deal with this issue of wage disparity in this nation.
Well, we'll see. Mayor Murray's Income Inequality Advisory Committee is scheduled to release their findings on raising the minimum wage at the end of this month. The committee is partly made up of local business owners and union leaders and others who would be affected by the citywide change in the minimum wage. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm hearing a lot of people talking about that. We're interested in how this could affect you. Are you someone who makes less than $15 an hour? Do a lot of your workers make less than $15 an hour? Are you at a nonprofit? Are you at a restaurant? Give us a call at 206-221-3663. If the minimum wage were $15 an hour, how would it affect you personally? You could also email us record@kuow.org. We're going to be using your stories to tell the larger story in the coming weeks on The Record. With Steve Scherr, I'm Ross Reynolds.